Hello, and welcome to the Love Wide Open podcast. I am Heidi Dallaire, your host. Here we discuss all things life and love, getting you out of your busy head and back in touch with your heart, where you can truly grow, evolve, and learn self-love so that ultimately you can love others and help them along their journey. I'm the managing and publishing editor of lovewideopen.com, a self-development and resource website, the creator of Love Wide Open on all social media channels, an alternative healthcare practitioner and heart space coach, and the author of Roots and Tendrils, a poetic journey through the highs of love and the lows of heartbreak that ultimately lead to self-love. Let's go hold some heart space together.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyway, hello. Hello,
Louise.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Louise. I have the pleasure of having a friend and parent coach as a guest today. We have Louise Clark, and you can find her at yourparentingpartner.com. She is a PCI certified parent coach, also a certified, I can't say this, Adlerian parenting facilitator, a certified mindfulness teacher, and also has a Bachelor of Science and Physiotherapy. She's done a ton of work with Dr. Shefali, and a lot of you may know Dr. Shefali through Oprah. It's Oprah's favorite parenting expert. Welcome, Louise.
Hi, Heidi, and thank you so much for having me on your show today. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so happy to have you. So I listen to your podcast. Louise has a podcast. It's called Parenting in the Thick of It. Although I don't have kids, I find it completely relational to all human beings.
You do? That's awesome.
I do. Right? Like it's relational work. It's how we communicate with each other, but you bring it through in the lives of teenagers. And I'm fascinated with how did you even get into this line of work and parent coach? It seems to be like a rising thing out there.
Yeah, good question, Heidi. I was very, very lucky, my husband and I consider ourselves very lucky, because way back when my eldest, who is now 18, he was 3 or 4, and a phone call out the blue from a friend of ours, and it went something like this: "Hey Lou, Dave here. I'm organizing a parent group. Want to know if you and Simon want to join. I need 8 couples. It's going to be 10 times a year for about an hour and a half each time. I need to know if you're in or you're out." And I went, "Can I?" He goes, "No questions. You just have to tell me now. I'm in a hurry." And I went, "We're in." So I signed us up, and I said to Simon when he came home, "I've just signed us up to parenting classes or something like that." And he goes, "What's that?" And I said, "I'm not sure, but I guess we will learn how to be better parents." So we went, and we completed the first year, and the first year became 2 years, then 3 years. And somewhere around that mark, the counselor that works with us actually asked, had a word with me at the end, and he said, "I think you should do this." And I'm like, "Me? Are you speaking to me?" And he went, "Yes, I think you are. This is what you need to be doing in your life." And it sowed a seed. I didn't jump on it immediately, but it sowed a seed. And from there on, I did, about a year later, I did actually start doing some qualifications towards becoming what I now am, which is a parent coach. And as you said, in that interim period, I've done, constant work on raising my own bar and becoming a better parent. But it honestly, it was such a gift, and it was something that I said yes to on a whim. And, it's got me to where I am today, and I absolutely love my work. I'm passionate about helping parents. And the great thing for me is in helping other parents, I'm always holding myself accountable. I'm always in it There's not a day where I'm not reading something about parenting and how to bring a different, you know, dynamic to the relationships I have with my kids. So I really do consider myself very, very lucky. So that's how I went from physiotherapist to parent coach. And here I am today.
Right. Wow. It's fascinating. And, you know, I read part of your blog series, which is you have an ADHD blog series, and I'm fascinated with the subject of ADHD just because, you know, I have questions around it of, you know, is our progressing society and how fast we are moving through the world starting to create this place in our children where all of a sudden they are disconnecting in this relational way and just finding themselves more anxious because they are in a smaller container that's moving very, very fast. Mm-hmm. I go with that wherever you want to, but I'm fascinated with the subject.
Yeah, you know, I became interested in ADHD because my eldest, who's 18 now, I was convinced from a young age that he had it. But at 13, it was confirmed through a formal diagnosis. And, you know, we've been dealing with it since. And he'll deal with it all his life. And you have to find ways to work with whatever the symptoms are that are a challenge for you. Mm-hmm. But in terms of ADHD itself, it's interesting because I do a lot of reading of the research on ADHD. And I think, you know, you're right in saying that there's so much of our lives today and the way in which we operate, particularly kids who are on their screens as much as they are, who are in this little constrained world that's so vast, that's so fast moving, that's so instant. There's now research to show that a brain, let's take a 13-year-old's brain 10 years ago, no ADHD would show up in a certain way. Mm. That 13-year-old's brain with ADHD would have differences, that they can see differences on all the scans that they do. Mm. There's different areas in the brain are more developed, other areas are less developed. But what they're now seeing is that there's very little difference between your typical, what was your typical ADHD brain, and now what is your average 13-year-old's normal brain. So it's suggesting that something is causing symptoms that are similar to ADHD that is not linked to ADHD per se.
Mm.
So there's a very well-known child psychologist called Dr. Victoria Dunkley who does a lot of work in this area. And she now will not test a child for ADHD until they've had a 4-week screen detox. So in other words, that says it all to me.
Right.
Because you don't assess them until they've had a detox. She knows that the screens are contributing, are a large component to developing very similar symptoms to ADHD. So I think what you said earlier stands true.
Well, it seems like more and more kids are being diagnosed with ADHD than when, of course, we were younger, but perhaps it's just that, you know, the science and everything else has developed as well. But I truly believe there is a link to all of our tech and how we move through the world now that kind of ungrounds us in a way. It pulls us literally into the ether a little more.
And it distracts us.
Yes.
A huge distraction. I mean, we all know what it's like when you're trying to get I've just written a book, we can talk about that later, but when you've written a book, when you're trying to write and the whole time you're seeing this message pop up, one email, two email, oh, you've got a text, oh, another email, oh, message on Facebook. It's so distracting that it causes us to unfocus. So we become less focused, and they now know that if you are in your little writing world and you become distracted, it can take anything up to 20 minutes to get back to the level of focus that you were pre-distraction. So that's no ADHD. And we're all living that life now.
Yeah.
We have to be so disciplined about switching off notifications. I hate notifications. I actually don't have them on mm-hmm. as many of my devices as possible. I don't sleep with my phone. I don't wake up with my phone. I really have, it's effort, you know, because it'd be much easier to have my phone by my bed when I've got three kids and some of them might be out and I don't know what time they're coming home.
Right.
But I don't have my phone by my bed. In fact, my eldest, when he comes home, he writes a note and he writes, "I'm home." And he puts it on the floor outside our room. And I trust that he'll be home when he says he's going to be home. And some of you might say, yeah, but what if something happened and he didn't get home? It would be 6 a.m. before you'd find out. And I'd go, it would be.
Yes.
My mom survived. Our parents survived. And I believe I will survive. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to do it, but for me, it works. And I'd rather that than have the phone by my bed. If he's doing something and I know he's going to be super late and it's slightly more risky, sure, there are times where I've had my phone by my bed. Anyway, I've digressed to having sleeping with our phones. But
no, but I think it's all related. It really truly is, because, you know, they are a complete distraction. Mm-hmm. You know, we know it as adults, and we know how much kids are involved in the screen. I can be driving and see kids walking on the sidewalk but have no awareness of what is happening around them because they're just in this little box world. So, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, tell me more about your book, because I love the title of this, and it goes along exactly with everything we've been talking about. So, Louise has written a book called Parenting the Modern Teen: The Secret to Understanding, Connecting, and Communicating with Your Teenager in a Disconnected, Distracted, and Digital World. Ooh, that's a mouthful.
I know.
Absolutely how our world is working and feeling right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I wrote my book, and you've written a book, you know what it's like. And you always, you know, where does it end? Where do you end your book? Where do you, like, how much do you put in? How little do you put in? How do you organize the chapters? So it was an amazing journey and process, and I really enjoyed it. And it's launched now, so it's off to the races. And I know it is helping many, many parents out there all over the world. And I get amazing messages from people saying, you know what, I've just read your book. And in the week since, I've seen positive changes in my parenting and in the relationship with my teenagers, because teenagers are hard. They really are. I love teenagers. You know, people sometimes say to me, what age do you like most? And I like all ages, but the teenagers really do fascinate me. And, you know, we can remember various stages in our childhood and isolated incidences, but I do remember my teenage years. And I think somewhere in the book, you know, I say, how do they operate the way they have? Where does it come from? You know, who wrote the teenage book anyway? And maybe I did, you know, way back. I contributed towards it. So I really, the teenage years, I'm really, really enjoying. And, you know, I have a 14-year-old boy, a 16-year-old girl, and an 18-year-old boy. So I'm right in the thick of it, which is why my podcast is in the thick of it. But, you know, I was in the thick of it when they were 2, 4, and 6, and when they were 9, 11, and 13, and now they're 14, 16, and 18. And I love it. I really do love it. But there is, if we think as parents we've been challenged before, teenagers add a whole new dimension to our worlds in terms of being triggered and being challenged. And I think that is the one thing that parents just struggle with most, is they think it's the child, the teenager, that's triggering them. But in fact, all triggers are actually internal, they're not external. But the teenage behaviors are very triggering. Like, you know, the things they say, the way they say it, the way they conduct themselves, their impulsivity, their irrationality, they're illogical at times. It's very hard to live with them. But, you know, we can't live with them and we can't live without them.
Right. So, but how rewarding for you to be getting this sort of feedback that, you know, someone takes your book and has positive impact in a very short amount of time from, you know, what you're discussing with them.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's incredibly rewarding. And, you know, my book, my whole, the way I operate as a parent myself and in my coaching practice with the parents I work with, is largely based on the work, the Adlerian work that I did, and Dr. Shefali's work. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, reading The Conscious Parent for me, I probably read it now, I think 6 or 7 years ago, that really was a pivotal time in my life. And, you know, at the same time, I was being coached by a parent coach. And the whole thing kind of came together because it, what it made me realize was for years, and I say this in my book, I was pointing my finger at my kids. I was blaming my kids. It's them. It's them. It's not me. Never thought for a minute it could be me. How could it be me? I'm such the perfect mom. Mm-hmm. And it was a real wake up to me to realize the kids will be kids. Teenagers will be teenagers. And really what it all boils down to is how I can control myself in the face of whatever meltdown, tantrum, or whatever they throw at me. Mm-hmm. It's up to me to be able to control myself and not become, you know, the 4-year-old when they were 4, you know, because as an adult, we can reduce ourselves to being 4 years old and behave just like a 4-year-old. And same thing with teenagers, you know, when my teenagers challenge me and they're being very teenish in their behavior, it can bring out the teenager in me. But that's really the foundation of my work, is to look at myself and say, how am I showing up? What can I change? Because I can't change them. They're wired as they are. They're coded as they are. They've got, their brains are undergoing a major reconstruction during the teenage years. And their executive functioning skills, which is in the prefrontal cortex, that doesn't develop until the ages of 20 to 22 to 25. So really, how can I expect them to get it all right? But I can try and get more of it right myself and control myself. So the foundation of my book is, how do we control ourselves in the face of whatever they choose to throw at us? And we don't know what that might be. I don't know what my 18-year-old's going to do tonight when he goes to a party, or my 14-year-old's going to do tomorrow when he goes and hangs out with his friend in the village somewhere. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So we have to be present in the moment and able to control ourselves regardless of what they do.
Yeah. And again, totally relatable to all relationships with
absolutely
people, right? Like, this is why we get triggered with anyone. It's because there's something in us that we do not have control over. You know, our emotions get stirred by their action and we go off the handle. Mm-hmm. And want to control how that person is. In retrospect, we're like, no, actually, I have control of me, and the awareness that that takes. So I would think it would be so eye-opening and maybe hard for some parents to like really come to grips with having to be that aware and change themselves.
It is hard. And you know, I think the hardest piece for parents, myself included, is that we are programmed and conditioned from the way in which we were parented. And our parents were programmed and conditioned from the way in which they were parented. So we have patterns within us that are generations old. And those patterns are deeply ingrained within us. So we've got parenting patterns that have been handed down and are coded within us. And we have societal and patterns and conditions that are coded within us, you know, from all the various institutions. Dr. Shefali, you know, introduced me to this whole concept, or made it so crystal clear to me, that so many things influence my ability to parent and where the patterns come from. And, you know, I was actually just working with a client earlier this week, and I had this analogy just came to me. I think it was because I do much of my work via Zoom, like we're conducting this interview now. And I said to her, you know, it's it, it's just like when we have these programs that are deeply ingrained in our heads. So almost like we've got a software system that's been handed down and we're born with.
Yeah.
And that software system has been influenced by cultures before us and the current cultures that we're living in. It's being influenced. And then parents, you know, might read a parenting book and think, oh, that sounds good. So think of it as another software system now that they're going to put into their minds. But the old program keeps raising its ugly head, that we can't get rid of the old software. Mm-hmm. And as much as we've got this new way that we want to show up, a new way of being, I'm not going to try and change my child, I'm going to change myself. This old software says, you can make your child listen to you, you can punish them, you can do this. And so the software systems are almost competing with themselves in our heads. And guess which one always comes to the top when we're triggered? The old ones. So that's why we go, oh my God, I sounded just like my mother. Or my dad used to do that. It's in you. It's part of you. So in the work I do with parents, I try and uninstall as much as we can. I don't believe we ever can. Uninstall that old software and install this new way of being. But to do that, we have to be incredibly aware to everything about ourselves. And, you know, just notice everything and work on ways in which we can control our reactivity. You know, I like to say I have a reactivity radar detector all day long, every minute. And I'm watching it going, oh, I'm becoming more reactive. But that's all very well. So I see myself becoming reactive. What do I do? Because, you know, it applies to all relationships. You can be with your girlfriend and something's happened and you can feel a physical reaction happening. Sometimes your pulse might start racing. You might get short of breath. You might just start sweating because of something that's happened. And we have to know how to control that reactivity that will naturally brew within us. So it's all very well noticing it, but we have to say, okay, I'm noticing it. This is all going on behind the scenes, because you're not going to say to your girlfriend, I'm actually noticing that I'm getting quite reactive right now, and I'm going to have to take a deep breath or walk around the block or go and hug that tree. You know, it just goes on all the time. And I think with our kids, it is actually good to role model that and say, you know what, I'm becoming really reactive right now. And when I'm reactive, I know it doesn't go well. So I just give me a minute. And I do say that to my kids. Mm-hmm. So it helps them so that when they're reactive, if someone can point it out to them and say, you're actually getting really reactive right now. I can see you are feeling, you know, we validate their feelings. Should we just take a moment? So we have to be able to control our reactivity, and to control it, we have to know we're becoming reactive. So we have to be aware. So I've got this radar detector that goes on. Beep, 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 beep.
I can see the lights happening right now. Like,
yeah, but it works for me. And but that's really what it boils down to, is how do we control ourselves? And then how do we impart those skills to our kids so that they can, you know, be emotionally regulated, control themselves and self-regulate and show up in the way they want to show up. And the teenage years are a tumultuous time for them because they are hormonal. It does make them reactive. It does make them impulsive. It does make them irrational, illogical. Let's face it, they know it all. They know way more than we do. And that in itself is hard to live with. But they're struggling. So if we can't control ourselves and be compassionate and curious and empathetic towards them, we'll be like this the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I talk about all of that in my book. And I also talk about, there's a chapter, chapter three, I talk about understanding the brain science, you know, what's actually going on in their brains, what's going on in my brain, what's going on in your brain, particularly when we're reactive. That helped me enormously in my parenting, was knowing, you know, this is just happening. You know, I really can't control it. It's going to happen. But understanding why it happens and, you know, what we can do about it, makes it much easier to deal with.
Wow. So much. Like, I bless anybody who has kids, and just, it's it's an amazing job to, I think, survive. And you're teaching people literally how to be better than surviving in a family. And it's great work.
Yeah. And, you know, I think so. That's what saddens me, Heidi, is, you know, you said you're teaching people to survive. There's lots of people who are, you know, I'd like to say I teach them to survive and thrive, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many parents out there, and they, you know, they come to me and they say, you know, it just, there's no fun in it anymore. All I do is nag. All we do is fight. All we get is slam doors. I have, you know, I can barely speak to my teenager right now. We've lost our connection. And, you know, it's so sad. And it's so difficult for us as parents not to take their teenage behaviors personally. You know, it's very hard. You know, as you say, this applies to all relationships. When someone is rude to us or disrespectful to us or doesn't listen, it's hard not to take that personally. But, you know, it's almost like rule number one with teenagers. You can't take it personally, because there's so much that you take personally that you wouldn't get out your bed in the morning. Yeah. You know, because it's almost constant. It's almost a rite of passage for them. They can't help it. You know, there's so much of it is a wiring thing, that they're almost, you know, just testing everything, and their brains are rewiring and reintegrating. So they haven't got it all together yet, even when they're 18. And, you know, there's times where the most level-headed 18-year-old will lose it and explode over very little. But there's times where a 53-year-old will lose it over very little and explode, right? Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to that, you know, controlling ourselves and role modeling it to our kids. But if we're triggered and take everything they say personally, we're never going to be able to get to a place, or it's very hard to get to a place where we can enjoy the relationship with our mm-hmm. teenager. And, you know, I get triggered, you know, just because I do what I do doesn't mean I don't get triggered. Doesn't mean they're not the normal average teenagers, because they are. They're just the same as any other teenager. I mean, they're all unique, but they're all kind of similar. And, you know, I just have to know that they are, it's all meant to be exactly as it is in this moment. And for me to be their support, their lead, their guide, their North Star. I can't do that if I'm a raging beast of a mom who's losing it because I take it personally. I feel disrespected. I feel not heard. I feel not understood. And as you say, this whole trigger thing goes way back, and the triggers are inside. So if I'm not feeling heard, or if my children are not listening to me, and I take it the wrong way, like, you're not listening to me and I'm not feeling heard, where's that coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, I was raised in a kids are seen and not heard. So I never really felt heard when I was a child, if I really think about it. But I don't remember. I mean, I had a happy childhood. I loved my childhood and I had a great time. But for sure, I didn't, you know, I didn't really have a say. My opinion was like, if I got to say it, it certainly was not like, oh, right, that's interesting. It was like, well, no, it's this way. So of course I'm going to be triggered when people don't listen to me and I'm not heard. Yeah. But until I reparent that part of me, that you know, 5-year-old Louise who didn't feel heard, if I reparent that, then when my kids don't hear me, I don't take it personally. I can move beyond it, right?
Absolutely. And so just what you just said just totally reminded me of a situation I had. I went back home just for a recent visit, and, you know, something, I got triggered, and I started to react, and I went, oh my God, this is my 12-year-old self. I literally recognized it, and I went, take a
and
breath.
Do you remember, it took you back to almost a moment?
Yeah, to almost a moment, like, to the T, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 12 right now. Mm-hmm. And so at that moment, like, I parented myself.
Yeah, because you have the awareness, right. You know, you meditate, yeah. Your awareness is strong, you know, meditation is like taking our awareness to the gym for a strength workout.
Yes.
But you caught yourself.
Absolutely. But it's just, as you're talking about like reparenting and all of these things, it's I just find it amazing that anybody can relate to anyone because of all the stuff that, you know, that original software program that we yes. have as a constant running in the background, and we don't really know it until something comes up. And sure, we want to blame other people for it, but it's hardwired for sure.
Yeah. And it's nice to blame other people because, you know, it really takes the onus off us, doesn't it? But we have to own it all. Yeah. And, you know, we co-create our realities. You know, this is what I say. There's the other thing that is, it's the problem and it's the solution, right? Is that we co-create our realities. We all have a part to play in it. So, you know, when parents come to me and they say, I'm really struggling with my 16-year-old because she's so this, that, and the other. Like, yeah, you know, the patterns that exist in your home have been created by you, your 16-year-old, your partner, her brother, the dog, the school, it's all had a part in co-creating the reality that is now. This is it. So because you've had a part in creating it, you can have a part in uncreating it. And you know, tearing it apart and starting with something new. Mm-hmm. And I liken it to an analogy where I say, you know, if you've got four actors on a stage and they all learn their lines and the show's going really well, everyone knows, the actors all know what to expect. They've got their parts down pat. They know their lines. They know what to say. They know where to move on the stage. The patterns are perfected. Well, we're the same in our homes. So imagine if one of the actors one night changes his lines. What happens? He changes his. It forces a change in the other three actors on the stage. They can't not do something different because he's led the change. Mm. And so they will react in a different way. It might not be favorable. It might not be what he anticipated or expected, but there'll be a change. And likewise, as a mom or a dad, if you suddenly change the way you show up and engage with the other players in the house, the other actors, they'll have to change to adapt to your change. So as much as the problem is the reality and we co-create it, the solution is also you, because you've co-created the problem, so you can co-create the solution.
Oh, fascinating. I love it. I just kind of want to wrap up here with where people can find you, because you have an immense amount of resources and probably some I'm not even aware of. So there's the podcast, which I know you do a Mindfulness Monday. You do an ADHD on Fridays. And
you really do keep tabs on my podcast.
I do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have, I think, 331 episodes as of today on my podcast. And I do a meditation Mindful Monday, and I do an ADHD on Friday. And the mix in the middle varies. It depends on what I feel and what I'm going to discuss. But, you know, the podcast is a tremendous resource for parents, and it's on 13 different platforms, the most obvious one being iTunes. And there's a tab on my website. In fact, on my website, yourparentingpartner.com, you can be led to everything that I do. So that probably is the good one-stop place to go. You can find out more about me. There's a link to the podcast. There's a link to my book, Parenting the Modern Teen, which is an ebook. It's 93 A4 pages. So if you print it, you'll get 97. You get 97 A4 pages. And there's an audio version of that I've recorded. So if you like my Scottish accent, you can listen to me for hours. And I also have a family organizer that I designed a few years back that is a calendar and a parenting kind of guide all in one. And it's called Parenting in the Thick of It Family Organizer. And it's evergreen. There's no dates and years on it. So in other words, if you buy it today on the 30th of August, you can start it tomorrow on the 31st of August and finish it on the 30th of August next year. You add the numbers in. There's enough spaces on the calendar for you to do that. And each month there's a theme and I hold you accountable to the theme. So that's another product that I have. And I have various courses that are online. I have a course that goes with the book called The Modern Team Companion. So if you really want to activate the learnings in the book, you can sign up and get that course. I have a course called Conflict to Cooperation, which is all about connection and boundaries, which are fundamental pieces in being able to parent well. Because we have to connect to our team or child, and boundaries connect us. They don't disconnect us. So that's a really interesting course that I love putting together. And then the other one that just had to be done was called Tech and Teams. Yeah. And that's a longer course. It's quite a long course and all about how we navigate the beast that technology is. So all of that's available on my website. The courses are kind of buried within the book page. So if you go into the book tab, you will you'll be able to find things there. And there's another tab, ADHD, which I'm passionate towards because my son has it. So yeah, tons of information. It's all there. I think that's about it, and a whole load of blogs.
And just say it one more time for everybody. That's at yourparentingpartner.com to find all of the resources that Louise provides.
Yeah.
Are many and so helpful for parents.
I know, I can't believe I've actually, when I was saying what I've put together, I'm like, wow, I've put together quite a lot over the years.
So long.
I love creating content. And if any of you are listening and you have a question or anything, you can email me, louise@yourparentingpartner.com. Always looking for things to discuss on the podcast, which I do anonymously. And the episodes are, usually around 10 minutes. So they're quick for parents who are on the fly.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's such a pleasure. And I just always love seeing you anyway. So
you too, Heidi. I always enjoy catching up with you. And thank you so much for having me on your show. And thank you to those of you who are listening.
Bye all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Love Wide Open with Heidi Dallaire. You can find me and more Love Wide Open resources at Love Wide Open or Heidi Dallaire on Facebook and other social media platforms, or HeidiDallaire.com, and my personal blog under Heartspace Lessons at lovewideopen.com. Thanks so much. Sending lots of love.